So we have been together for really since September or so. We took a break from for December and January, but walking through a series that we titled Meals with Jesus, looking at different meals that people ate with Jesus. And there are all these instances in Scripture of the Lord going into people's houses and spending time with them. And we chose that for one huge reason. So if you have spent any time around Midtown 12 South, you've probably already forgotten this. So I'm gonna tell you a little bit about why we chose this. And then we'll jump into the Scripture together. So Midtown 12 South, we have two kind of big targets that we like shoot for. We call this one breadth with a D. So this is like growing. We want to grow in breadth. So we want to grow like with more, like we feel like the Lord wants us to reach as many people as he wants us to reach. So we want to grow in that. We also want to grow in depth. And so this is obviously going deeper into life with each other, going deeper into the Scriptures, going deeper into discipleship. So we don't want to just grow like and bring a ton of people in to hear the gospel. We certainly want that. But when we get them here, we also want to go deep. We don't want to be, kind of a mile wide and an inch deep. We really want to see the gospel and all of Scripture really sink to the bottom of the lake in our hearts and have that effect and change as it ripples out. It will affect and change every area of your life. And so if you come to Midtown, you're going to hear this a lot. If you're an Explore Midtown, you're going to hear this tomorrow night. And so this is something that we have decided as a staff and elders and pastors is what we want to aim for when y'all come in the door. And so a way to kind of accomplish this, we've said, needs to be accomplished through hospitality and service. And so we believe that a hospitable environment, a place where you are known and loved and welcomed and wanted and needed, is going to make this and this a lot more possible. And then we know that service is huge because the Lord tells us if you want to find your life, you have to give it away. Scripture all over the place is about serving the city. It's about serving the poor. It's about serving and fighting against injustice. And it's also about serving one another. You kind of start with a household of faith and then you work your way out. And so we want to be a hospitable people and we want to be a people that serve. And so for the unprofessional ministry, we are tackling this two ways. We serve once a month at a place called The Branch. Our good friend Paige Panitsky, who is on our leadership team, has set that up and we'll send those dates out kind of in our GroupMe and our email communications all the time, so you can sign up to do that. We really wanted to make one place that everybody could kind of jump in and make it super easy. Now, you can serve wherever you want, right? We're just saying, this is where we're going to send you if you ask us. And so if you got a place that you love to serve, go do that. But if you want a place to serve, this is where we do that. They take 12 on a Saturday, and so it's a smaller group, and that's on purpose. And so Paige kind of heads that up. Again, we'll get you all those. And then for hospitality, we actually wanted to look and see, like, what does Scripture say about it? What does Scripture tell us about hospitality? What does it tell us about Jesus, who seemed to be and is, you know, the most hospitable being that's ever been? And so how did he interact with people? How did people interact with him? So if you have a copy of the Scriptures, I don't have it on the screen, so you can pull out your phone Bibles, or if you brought one with you. We're going to be in Luke chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 35, and we're going to go down to verse 50. And so this is a story. If you spent time around church, you've probably heard this. And we know that there are folks who have tons of church experience here, folks have zero. And so we're going to go back to the Gospels, Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 35, and look at the story of a Pharisee and a prostitute. And what did Jesus do when he interacted with both of these? And so usually kind of how these nights work, sometimes we'll stand up here and talk, sometimes we dialogue. Tonight I don't want it to be a dialogue because we're actually going to sort of I don't think I have an eraser. It's fine. We're gonna compare and contrast what we see with the Pharisee and with the prostitute. And so, and then there's Jesus. So these are kind of the three characters that Luke is wanting us to pay attention to, okay? So as we read through it, I'm gonna ask you a couple questions, and don't be shy. There are wrong answers, but I won't tell you that. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about who the Pharisees were, who was this lady, how does Jesus respond to them? And then after a little bit of time, I'm gonna split you up into small groups, and we'll just kind of scatter throughout the church, and y'all will talk about this for 20 minutes or so. And so let's look at Luke 7. We're gonna start with verse 36. I'll read the passage for us, then we'll pray and then we'll talk. So one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Him was Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at a table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at a table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. Jesus said, a certain moneylender had two debtors, one who owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them would love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And then turning toward the woman, he said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. Let's pray together. Jesus, tonight, our hearts are 1,000 different directions. Lord, even my own attention is 1,000 different directions. So I ask for myself and for my friends here, would you focus us through the power of your Holy Spirit on what you would have us learn tonight as we look at this story? May we see ourselves in it, and may we see you as the one who is the one who forgives sins. And so Jesus, we pray that you would do that for us. It's in your name, amen. All right, so here, let's start with Jesus, right, has been invited into a Pharisee's house. This guy's name is Simon, we're told that. And so, I want you to be like, feel free to have all the generality in the world. Because you think if Simon the Pharisee, when you think of a Pharisee, I want you to think of this. Pharisees were pretty model citizens. You would like to have a Pharisee for a neighbor. Pharisees were, they were kind of law-abiding, they were rule followers. They knew the scriptures really well. They knew the Old Testament law really well. They were also pretty critical of who Jesus was. And so in the like gospel world, the gospel universe that we read about, Jesus and the Pharisees were always kind of button heads. And so that Simon would invite Jesus into his house is already a big deal because they didn't necessarily like Jesus a whole lot. And so that being the backstory of the Pharisee, what do you think Simon's house was like? And what do you think, like who do you think he had at dinner with him? Go. Other Pharisees. Other nerds. Got it. What else? Probably rich people. Ooh, that's a good one. Cash. What's up? Public figures. I don't know how to make a sign for that. Let's put a sign. I know what it means, okay? That's what's important. So public figures, pretty, other Pharisees, probably pretty wealthy. And they're at Simon's house, right? This is who he would have spent time with. And then this lady comes in. We don't know her name, but we know a lot about her. And so what was she like? Say it again. Outcast, very good. Alone, very good. Very true. Say it again. Humble. Let's follow up on that. Why do you think she was humble? You don't have to answer. Anybody can answer. Or you can if you want to. Why would she have been humble? Oh, yeah. All right, she was a train wreck. Yeah.
She also knew, where she was.
Yeah. She had heard of Jesus, right? Very good. And so, remember we talked about this party, right? This lady walks in. What happens? Not just in the story, but what do you think is going on if you were a guest at this party? Very good. A lot of looks. What else?
Judgment.
Very good. Avoidance. Why do you think avoidance? That's great. That's so good. And what would these guys, what's another thing they would have been looking, or maybe who would they have been looking at? Jesus, why? What's he going to do? Right, that's always the question that the Pharisees had, that's the question beneath the question anytime you run to a Pharisee in Scripture. What's Jesus going to do about this? Because, right, she's described as a woman of the city, whatever that means. But it means she's a sex worker. She's a woman of the night. She is a woman of ill repute, as the King James would say. So she shows up at this party. She's got a jar of alabaster. I don't know what that means other than it's an expensive liquid. And she is bringing all that she has, right? She's got her alabaster. She's bringing it to Jesus. What does Jesus do when she gets there? How does he interact with her?
He lets her
watch. Say again. He just sits there, right? These guys are going to be looking at Jesus to say something, right? If you know about the woman caught in adultery, John chapter 8, right? She's brought before Jesus. They've caught her in the act of sex with another woman's husband. And the Pharisees are like, what are you going to do? Your law says we get to kill her. So what are you going to do? They're trying to trap Jesus, right? They're kind of doing the same thing here. Jesus, what are you going to do? Because this lady who's sinful is touching you. You're a king, you're a priest, you're the son of God. That means if you touch her, then you're going to be unclean. And so they are looking to the law to make themselves right. What is she looking to make herself right? Jesus, right? Good answer, guys. She's looking to Jesus to make herself right. Why? She's desperate. So good. There's a desperation in her that's not in this guy. And why? She sees how she doesn't measure up to the law. So good. How would this guy think he measures up to the law? Thinks he does a pretty good job. And so Jesus is sitting there, this lady, y'all, it would be weird if somebody's crying on your feet and then wiping them. I made a joke with Andrew, I was like, my wife doesn't even look at my feet. And so this, it's not a joke, it's the truth. This lady is sitting there crying on the feet of Jesus, using her hair to wipe them off. She's breaking this expensive perfume, she's rubbing it all over him. And he is just sitting there and he's letting her do it. And then who does he talk to first? In verse 40. Say again. Simon. He addresses Simon before he addresses this lady who's washing his feet. And then he goes on to tell him a story. You have a guy who lent money to two people. Denarii, it's like a day's wages. So these guys were given money that they could never pay back. And so the guy just decides to, Jesus says, he decides to cancel the debt. Which one would have been happier? Simon says, probably whoever had the bigger debt, right? He's talking about this lady. And then, so Jesus is saying, the one who has the bigger debt is the one who is who is in love with me more, who loves me more. She's been forgiven a lot more than Simon. Is that true? Why not? So good. So good, right? We know this about the cross, right? It covers all of our sin, whether it's one or a thousand. So they're both just as sinful, but Jesus is pointing out something. This lady has seen it. Simon, you're missing it. You've missed it all. And then what does Jesus say about Simon's hospitality? He's a bad host. Why?
He didn't leave water out
to
wash his feet, other stuff.
Yeah. A miscellany. Yeah. So Simon's a bad host. There's places all over the law on how you're supposed to treat people when they come to your house. Simon's breaking the law just as much as this lady, right? Everything he's putting his hope in, I'm putting my hope in this. This is going to make me right. The law is what's going to impress Jesus when I'm in front of him. And Jesus is coming in and saying, none of that matters, Simon, because this lady has not stopped lavishing her affection onto me. Simon, you pretty much haven't even acknowledged me. I'm a guest in your house. Like, you wanted me here, Simon, but you haven't done anything about this. And then Jesus looks at the lady and he says what in verse 48? Your sins are forgiven. And then how do they respond in 49? They're still wondering, who the hell are you, Jesus? I can't figure you out, right? Everything, you're not making any sense. Not only did you let this lady kind of do all this stuff, not only did you call out Simon for being a bad host, but now you're saying you have the audacity to say, I'm gonna forgive somebody's sins? How would that have made these guys feel? Pretty poor, yeah. Because all throughout the New Testament, when Jesus interacts with these guys, they get real mad when Jesus says he's gonna forgive somebody's sins. Think about the guy who had to be carried on the mat, right, and lowered through the roof, if you know that story. The first thing Jesus does when he sees him, he says, your sins are forgiven. And so Jesus is seeing straight through Simon's heart, straight through this lady's heart, and he's saying, Simon, you're not realizing that the biggest problem you have is that your heart could not be any closer, like your heart could not be any further from me, rather. You're so far away from me, Simon, because of your obsession with making sure that you're right, that you're gonna miss it. Story of the prodigal sons, the older son and the younger son. Tim Keller in his book, Prodigal God, which if you've never read, tell me, I'll buy you a copy. He says in there are two ways of missing Jesus. One is you do everything wrong. You got this lady. We know this one, right? We know this one. You've been alive long enough to know God loves good little boys and good little girls. So he says you can do everything wrong or you can do everything right. By doing everything wrong or doing everything right, you can still miss Jesus. And this lady is saying, I'm ready to kind of cast off this whole woman of the night thing because she is so desperate. And what is she desperate for? Acceptance. What else? Love. Very good. What else? Connection. What else? Say it again. So good. Respect. Oh, Luke, look at you. Are you married to somebody that works at church? How have men treated her? She's been an object for her whole adult life, as far as we know. Probably further back, right? Jesus is the one man who didn't ask her for anything. I read a commentary that said some of the Pharisees would have been nervous because they actually would have known who she was, right? It's like, oh, we know who she is. Not just she had a reputation, but they've exchanged money for goods and services. So Jesus is the only man who has ever looked at this lady and said, you are valued, why? Because of who you are, not because of what you do, right? She already knows that what she does is crazy. Simon is looking and saying, Jesus, you can love me because look at all the stuff I do for you. Like I invite you to my house. And so Jesus is saying, here's what we know about our sin, right? If this is your knowledge of God, so you've become a Christian right here, okay? And this is your knowledge of your sin. What this chart is saying is, the more you find out about who God is, and the more you find out about who you are, the further you guys get from each other, right? So this lady knows a lot about Jesus, right? She comes in, she at least knows this much, he forgives sins, and he's not gonna turn her away. And so her knowledge of God is going up and her knowledge of her own sin is going down because she's like, here's how I'm gonna respond to him. I'm just gonna throw myself at his feet. Simon is looking at Jesus. He's got very little knowledge of God and very little knowledge of his sin. And so as we grow in hospitality, as we grow in service, as we grow in breadth and as we grow in depth as a church and as people, what we want, the depth we wanna take you into is this, y'all. We want your knowledge of God to grow, and your knowledge of sin is gonna grow with it. Your knowledge of who you are and your dreadful deeds are gonna grow. And then here's what we wanna see. We call this the cross chart. It's pretty big in Christian circles. I'm letting you in on an industry secret here. It just keeps growing, okay? Until you get to heaven, this thing is just gonna keep growing. And so what happens with the knowledge of God and the knowledge of sin as we progress in both of those things? If the cross is what connects those two, what happens to the cross? It gets bigger. Why does it get bigger? Say again. Very good. Very good. Real literal crowd. If you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, you know enough about your sin, right, that you just kind of throw yourself onto Jesus. And if you've been a Christian for 20 years, which would make some of you two when that happened, if you've been a Christian for any number of time and you feel like your faith is growing, what you're going to see when the cross gets bigger is that there's more sin you're finding. And as you find more and more sin, you're finding more and more grace in Jesus. That Jesus is not dying again for your sins. He doesn't do that. He did it once. What we see, though, is that when we look at the cross and we look at what Jesus has done, that when I look at this and I'm 25, I'm going to see Jesus really is covering a lot. You get 42 like me, it's so much bigger, right? You get 80, it gets bigger because you're finding out more and more about your own sin and you're finding out more and more about how much Jesus really does care for you. And so when we look at this cross chart and we're like, this is how we grow as people, and we think of like, how are we hospitable to those folks who are coming in, whether they look like this or they look like this, whether it's the Pharisee or the prostitute that's coming in. Because Jesus looks at Simon and he's telling Simon, hey man, you're gonna miss this. Like your sin is blinding you to what you could have if you had the kind of heart that she has. So Jesus loves Simon just as much as he loves this lady. But Simon's sin is blinding him, and Jesus is asking us, let's not let that happen to us. And then he says to her in 50, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Because of your trust and what you believe about me, go in peace. It's all finished. Everything's covered. All the sin that you've done and all the good you've left undone, all that is all covered by his grace and his goodness. So we're going to break up into...